It's good to be home. I did want to share just an encouragement. We thought of George and John and Miss Melba. But I tell you, the world is smaller than you think it is. And we sat down to a nice fancy supper in southern Mexico. And our host, a young gentleman, very nice, clean cut, spoke very good English, so we got to visit a lot. Turns out that he had a bus captain who came and picked him up every morning. Every Sunday morning, kept him all day, and half the time gave him his lunch because they were poor and didn't take their lunch with him. He said, half the time he come in the house and got me dressed to get me to church on time. And his name was Lot, of all names, but his name was Lot. And he told us his bus captain's name, and he said, these people were the most influential in my life. Or a bus captain. And he said, because of them, I trusted Christ as my Savior, because they took me to church where I heard the gospel, and I was baptized in First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana. And he said, brother, Dr. Hiles, that's the preaching I grew up under. We're like, praise the Lord. I tell you, so you think getting that dirty little bus kid out of bed and putting dirty little socks on him and giving him your peanut butter and jelly sandwich doesn't count? Amen. There's a young man in southern Mexico that has a testimony because of somebody that worked with bus ministry in Chicago, of all places, and took him clear from Chicago to Hammond to go to Sunday school every Sunday. Bus ministry matters, folks. Pray for those that work on it. God bless them. All right. We are going to start a new series. We're not in Genesis, but let's go to Psalms 119. Praise the Lord for Genesis. I love that. I'd start all over again if you'd let me. The Lord has laid on my heart about teaching on the Word of God. I think that there's a lot of things that the world has grown slack on concerning the Word of God. And they're not just concerning, I mean, preaching obviously has grown slack concerning the Word of God, because preachers and pulpits don't even have faith in the Word of God that they have in their hand. And if you don't trust what you have in your hand, you're in trouble. You don't have much confidence in your preaching or your teaching. And I want us to grow. And I want us to see this morning, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the King James this morning. It's coming. You see, I brought some books from my library. It's about a tenth of them. Some books that I would recommend. It's interesting. Some of you know these. This. If you don't have this book, you need to get it and read it. It'll scare you to death. You'll only get halfway through it, and you got to set it down for a while when you read about the other versions. But Gail Ripplinger is a good purified seven times. Maybe you know David Cloud. Some of you do. This preacher right here was the man that I sat in his office and led me to Christ with my mom and dad there. And he wrote Brother Corkish. Brother Steve knows him. He went to church with him. Some may not be fans of Peter Ruckman, but that guy knows some other thing about the King James Bible. And then one of the oldest books on the King James Bible is Dr. Grady, The Final Authority. So I'd encourage you to look at those, and they're easy to pick up, mostly online. You won't find those in Mardell's, because it eliminates about 90% of their shelves. They'd have one row left if they put them in there. Anyway, all right. We need to learn to love the Word of God. And I tell you what, I think this morning that if we just see... Learn this week to love the Word of God. If you love it, you'll trust it. And what is the Word of God? We know John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that Word is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the Word of God. If you say, I love Jesus, how can you say you love Jesus, but you don't love the Bible? Or I love Jesus, but I don't believe every jot and tittle. Then you don't believe everything about Jesus. You can't have one and not the other, because he is the Word of God. So if he is the Word of God, boy, I'm going to get way ahead of myself quick. I get excited about this, excuse me, but I'm going to get excited about the Word of God. Amen? So we're going to go to Psalms chapter 119, and it relates, the entire chapter relates to the Word of God. And just coincidentally, it's the longest chapter in the entire Bible. Wouldn't that make sense that God says, I'm pretty impressed with the Word of God, and I want you to be impressed with the Word of God? There's no coincidences here that every single verse in this 176 verses has something to do with the Word of God. You will find one of these words in every single verse but two. Every one of these words means the Word of God. Now there are some who will say, well, God accidentally left out two verses, don't have that in there. But I don't believe that. I believe those two verses do talk about the Word of God. And I want you to look at them real quick just before we get going. They're in chapter 129. But how about verse 122? Now, I would encourage you to go through with a blue marker or something, you know, colored pencil, and highlight each one of these words in every verse. You'll see how much God's talking about the Word of God. But when you go to 122, guys will say, well, God messed up and left it out. But he doesn't, not if you understand and read what the Word of God. First of all, yeah, God loved the Word of God. If you love the Word of God, you trust the Word of God, and guess what? He didn't leave anything out. It says, be surety for thy servant. Guess what surety means? Surety means my word. It means as liable. He says, be liable. Be my word for thy servant. So scripture given for the fulfillment of an undertaking. It's the Word of God. So guess what? God didn't forget it. There's other verses. One other verse that God is, look at what it says. Let's see if I can get there. Okay, verse 132. That verse, men say, God left out one of these words, talking concerning the Word of God. But look what it says. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Well, what's his name? The Word, isn't it? The Word of God, Jesus Christ. It's not, God didn't make any mistakes, folks. Listen, if there's a mistake, it's in your understanding and my understanding. It is not a mistake with the Word of God. We can trust the Word of God. And I believe that the author here is David, and the Bible says that David had a heart like God, and I believe David loved the Word of God. And how did David love the Word of God? But he spent time in the Word of God. He spent time with God. Look what he says. We're going to go to verse 97. We're going to read through verse 106. And that's where we're going to spend this morning, if we get through it. Chapter 119 and verse 97. Look at the very first phrase. Oh, how love I thy law, exclamation point. David says, I love the Word of God. He's not saying I love the Word of God. He says, oh, how I love the law. That's exclamation point. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Though through thy commandments hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than the honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. God's serious about the Word of God. And David says, oh, how I love thy law. You know, what we love, we think on day and night, don't we? You say, well, I love my spouse, but I forgot about her for the last week. No. If I love my spouse, I'm thinking about her not just when I'm with her, but I think about her when I'm not with her. I think about her all the day long, while you're at work, while you're driving down the road. Why? Because God says you're one. Because you love her. That you dwell upon them, you think upon them. Listen, what you love, you think about. Whether at work or play, your spouse, a hobby, a pet, if you love them, you think about them, amen? And here's what David's saying. He says, I want to meditate on the Word of God. And what I meditate on, he says, I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. He says, I'm thinking about the Word of God all day long. And he says, I love it so much, and I trust it so much, and I spend so much time dwelling upon it, that it actually becomes a part of my everyday thought process. Everything that I do during the day, what does the Word of God have to say about that? Now, when you really meditate on the Word of God and love the Word of God, that's kind of how you start thinking. Oh, what would God have me to do? Lord, what would you have me to do? Oh, I got a relationship with my Heavenly Father. He says he meditated on it. He digested the Word of God. You know, some of us, sometimes we're reading our Bible and close the Bible and, what did I just read? I read my Bible like preacher said I'm supposed to, but I didn't digest any of it. I just did it because that's what I'm supposed to do. That's not what David said he did. David said, it is my meditation all the day. He says, I'm digesting it. Now, I don't mean this talk about today, but digesting. What you take into your body draws out the nutrients from that food that you eat, and it literally becomes a part of your body. I ate a banana this morning. My body pulled out the potassium and put the potassium where it needed to be in my body, or in whatever else is in a banana. I don't know. But whatever it is, it became a part of my body. What your mind sees, hears, what you read, literally becomes a part of you. Have you ever seen something and tried to unsee it? You can't do it. You know why? Because you've got the greatest computer the world will ever have. God designed it. It's in your head, and your brain doesn't unforget things. Many things in my life I wish I could unforget or unsee. But you know what? That's why the Bible says, guard your eyes, what you see. Guard your ears, what you hear. The song, my wife could probably sing me the song. I can't remember it. We sing with the bus kids. Careful little eyes what you see, careful little ears what you hear, careful little mouth what you say. Why? Because it becomes a part of your body. It becomes a part, your brain digests that, and you cannot erase it. It becomes permanent. Therefore, the Word of God, if that is our meditation all the day long, guess what becomes permanent? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Ooh, I memorized that probably when I was about, before I could read. Guess what? It's in Psalms 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Well, that's a good verse, isn't it? And you know what? I'm not saying I have never sinned against God, but that verse sticks in your craw when you do. When you sin, time out. Some people don't have stop signs in their life, but we know have the Word of God, have meditated on it and memorized it. We have it. And once it's digested, it literally becomes a part of it. Why would you think that Satan would like to pervert the Word of God? Because once he perverts the Word of God, it gets that seed planted in your mind that you can't trust the Word of God, that you don't have a Word of God that you can trust. If he can plant that seed in your mind forever, it's in your mind. And it takes a lot of preaching to get it out of your mind. Because Professor Fluffyhead said, Who cares? Why listen to Professor Fluffyhead? I got the Word of God. Whether and then when it's digested, whether I'm alone or silent, or at work mingling with others, Scripture can have an effect on my life. If I love the Word of God and I trust the Word of God, wherever I'm at, it's going to affect my decision-making process. It becomes part of my rationale. You want to blow a salesman's mind, tell him, I need to go pray about that. What? No, pray about it. Just let me sell it to you. I love it. My wife will say, I need to go talk to my husband. What? In today's society, you need to go talk to your husband? Yeah, ladies, you need to go talk to your husband. Because God made him a spiritual leader of your house. That's why. That's good preaching. Amen. All right. So we got personal or business. Automatically, God's word should be applied. Amen. What part of your life would you say, well, no, I'm not going to apply that part. I can't apply God's word to this part of my life. Then you got a part of your life that you need to fix or get rid of. Because the word of God does apply to every step of our life. You cannot tell me one thing in your life that God's word doesn't talk about. You think God, oh, I forgot to put that in there, but I'm going to judge him for it eternally with that book, but I forgot to tell him about, that's not our God. That's not a merciful, gracious, loving God. So if we don't digest or meditate on the word of God like David talks about, guess what? The normal reaction to everyday things is going to be incorrect. But if we are meditating on the Word of God daily, David says, listen, he said that I gain some wisdom, understanding, and knowledge above and beyond my years. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. I mean, you don't have to have a doctorate from some Bible school somewhere to know the Word of God. You just have to meditate and believe it and trust it. Now listen, if somebody says, well, you can't trust it, shut your ears. Because they are fools, according to my Bible. Now he says there, he says, through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies. That would be a good thing, isn't it? Wiser than your enemies. You think about all the situations David was sitting under. And he should have been killed over and over and over and over and over and over and over. How did he get through that? He knew the Word of God. He trusted the Word of God. He says right there, he says, through thy commandments, the Word of God, hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Every day they're with me. I kind of want to be wiser than my enemies because they're pretty evil. He says, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Now, that's not being arrogant. Listen, if you got a teacher that ain't teaching out of the Word of God, you're smarter than he is. He says, for thy testimonies are my meditation. He says, listen, I'm studying, I'm trusting the Word of God, and if what you have to say ties into that, good for you. But if what you have to say contradicts what my studying of my Word of God says, then you're wrong and I don't need to listen to you. That's simple, isn't it? Well, I'm just not sure who we can trust today. Yeah, I am. I'm sure I can trust God, and I'm sure I can trust my King James Bible. So guess what? I got something I can trust. See, he says I have wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. If you just turn over a couple pages, stay in the same chapter. But 165. David said, great peace have they which love thy law. Wow. You know how many people around you don't have peace today? They're miserable. The world is miserable. The lost are miserable. There are Christians that are miserable because they've let somebody get them to not believe they have a word of God they can trust. They don't have a peace because they don't do this. Love the word of God. David says, I love thy law. He said, great peace have they which Love thy law and nothing shall offend them. Wow, I mean, we can trust the word of God. Listen, he has understanding of the word of God. He doesn't say, I have an understanding of somebody's podcast. He said, I have an understanding of the word of God. Listen, there's a lot of preaching going on out there, some good, some bad. Well, one thing I can fall back on is the word of God. And it doesn't matter what professor whatever his name or doctor so-and-so says, I have the word of God. And David said, I'm smarter than some of my teachers because I trust the word of God. We trust the word of God. We don't have to worry about being led astray because we weigh every decision and everything that's said in every conversation and every debate. We weigh that against what we've read in the Bible. And this is always right, by the way. Wait, no, this is always right. My right hand. This is... You look in your Bible and you got commentaries in there. Guess what? That is not inspired word of God. If it contradicts what the Bible says above it, then mark it out. Because you can't, not all commentators are right. Some are good, some are bad. But I trust the word of God. Now, how did he get it? He comes from loving it. How did he get that wisdom and understanding in all these different areas? Because he loved it. And he loved it come from meditating on it continuously, day in and day out and day in and day out. And Proverbs and chapter 2, I'll just read it quickly for you. In verse 9, it says, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul. He says, listen, you want to have understanding, but trust the word of God. You want to know why a bunch of preachers are confused today? Because they don't trust the Word of God. If they put their faith in the Word of God, then who cares what the world is doing? I don't care how somebody else is building a church. If they're not building it according to the Word of God, they're wrong. And I can rest assured on the Word of God that I'm right. I kind of like being right, but I'm not always right. I tell my wife I'm always right, but sometimes I'm not. And she'll say, but you know what the Word of God is? Oh, got to bring that up. Remember what you preach? Oh, honey, why do you got to do that? Praise the Lord for our good helpmeet. Amen. Man cannot understand what he does not, love, what he does not know. Where does he get understanding? What he does not love, he will not seek to understand. I mean, I'm not telling you I got my wife figured out. And I've been married to her for 34 years. But because I love her, I'm still seeking to understand some things so that our relationship is better. And so that there's some things I got to figure out about. I mean, I know the book is like this tall about understanding women. And I'm the only a little ways through it. But you know what? If I love her, I'm going to seek to keep on reading. If I love God, guess what? I'm going to keep reading. Yeah, I know you probably have heard men say, well, I've read the Bible before. Didn't do nothing for me. Really? You ought to keep reading it again and again and again. I had a goal maybe 8-10 years ago. My goal was to read through the Bible 3 times in 1 year. That's a chore, and that's a lot of reading. But I did it. I read through the whole Bible 3 times in 1 year. And not one time did I get the same exact... I mean, there's some doctrine doesn't change, don't get me wrong. But God fed me every single time reading the same exact chapter I've already read 2 times this year. And God still fed me because I was meditating on the Word of God. Now, if man loves it, he'll trust it. And in order for us to grasp the next few months, you're going to have to take my word for it, love the Word of God. Trust the Word of God. If you go out of here questioning, well, I don't know. You know what Rick Warren says. He's a New Ager, guys. Don't believe what he has to say. Well, Joel Osteen gave a good pep talk the other day. Yeah, but he didn't preach the word of God, so guess what? I don't put much faith in what he has to say. Benny Hinn, you know, he can slap people. He believes that all of us, regardless, become a god. He kind of tied in with Mormonism and a few other Hinduism, and he gained all those things together. By the way, Benny Hinn said that he believes that Jesus was born in hell. What kind of crazy nut is that case? Does that solve it for you right there? Benny Hinn's a nut. Don't listen to him, okay? I mean, come on. There's some big-name scholars out there that, without any wisdom of the simplest doctrine, they begin to correct God's word because they don't understand something. Well, that's a good reason to change it. Well, I don't understand quantum physics, but that doesn't mean I get to rewrite gravity. Well, let's redefine gravity because I don't understand how it works. That's silly, isn't it? Because you don't have a full grasp on every jot and tittle in the book doesn't give you the right to change it or anybody else. And there are Bible scholars everywhere, all over, writing books by the bazillions about why the King James Bible is not right. But don't take 1 second to read it and love it and digest it. Amen. Otherwise, they couldn't believe some of the junk that they believe. Pride says, I can change it. I'll go give you my new version. I'll give you my understanding of what that should say. Really, who are you, by the way, Bible scholar? Who do you think you are? Well, I'm just trying to get it back to the closer to the originals. Really? Show me the originals. Paul didn't have the originals. Jesus didn't have the originals, but he was quoting the New Testament, Old Testament over and over and over. You know what he had? He had a copy of the original in perfect preservation, which is exactly what you hold in your hand in the King James Bible. Now, I know somebody say, well, I don't know, that's easy to say, but it's not easy to say, and that's why I ain't going to get it done today. But if you will just be patient in the next few months, Lord willing, I will show you some things out of the King James Bible that will make you say, I can trust this book. Amen. I can love this book. You know, the lack of pride says, I don't understand it, but I still believe it. Amen. I was taught that at a very early age. I don't understand a lot of things in the Bible, but God is, I'm glad. That means I still got lots to learn, amen? I'm not going to know everything till I get to heaven. So I'm not really wanting to know everything today. I'm glad I still have some time left to learn some things, amen? So David said that he had more understanding, knowledge, and wisdom in the Word of God. He understood it better than his actual teachers. He understood it better than some. And then he says, listen, I understand it better and I apply it to my life. More than my enemies, who are numerous. David always outwitted his enemies. He said, more than my teachers. How? Because David had no formal education. He did not even go through sixth grade, elementary school, or junior high, or high school. He did not go to his Bible college Greek class, or Hebrew class, or Aramaic class. Paul did not go through this. I mean, Jesus, David. Let's get it right. I'll get it sooner or later. Thank you. David had time alone with the Lord out feeding sheep. Well, you're going to learn a lot. So you wonder why he had this figured out about the shepherd versus sheep thing. He saw that, how stupid sheep are. I'm sorry, they're just stupid. I raised them. I sold very few of them. You look at him wrong and fall over dead. Why I kept buying a pink old lamb to raise, I don't know. But they find the water hemlock or the milkweed and they're dead on the ditch bank. Anyway, David says, I love thy word. and I meditate on it. Can you imagine what is a teenage boy doing sitting out there by himself tending sheep all day? What does he think about? Well, according to God's word, he's thinking about God. He's getting to know God. God says, you have a heart like me. And he guess what it says? He wasn't taught in some Bible college. Look what it says in verse 102. It says, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. What a better teacher could you have? He said, God taught me. He says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than in my honey that to my mouth. He said, I learned from God. And in verse 101, he says, I learned to refrain my feet. He said, I've refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. So God's teaching him right and wrong. He says, here's what my word says. And David, living his life like you and I do, he walks out the door of church and he goes, oh, wait a minute, that doesn't. Now, if I apply God's word to what I just saw or did or was fixing to do, time out. I got to change directions. And he's using the word of God to direct him which way he should go. And so should we. He says in verse 102, he says, I've not departed from it. God gives wisdom beyond our peers and our years. Your peers, I don't care who your peers are, and I don't care how long they've been saved or a Sunday school teacher or who they are, but God gives us wisdom beyond those people because we have the word of God. We have the mind of Christ right there. What else do you want? The mind of Joseph Smith? No, thank you. I'll take the mind of Jesus Christ. You want the mind of Mary Baker Eddy? No, I want the mind of Jesus Christ. You want the mind of Herbert Armstrong or blah, blah, blah? You fill in the blank? No, I want the mind of Christ, and I got it right there. God gives wisdom. Think about what the Pharisees said about Peter and John. These guys are just simple fishermen. How did they have that knowledge of the Word of God? You know what? Started off loving it. Then they digested it. And then it became part of their everyday thing. They had to love it. The Word, he said, is sweet. And it's sweet when it's lived and when it's rejected. The Bible says it's a two-edged sword. It cuts and it divides. And when there's understanding of the Word, in verse 104 says, when we understand the word of God, the only natural thing is for us to hate sin. The only natural thing, if we really love the word of God, is to hate sin. That's what the word of God says. So, you know, we look around us and look at the world, and the world does not know right from wrong. You know why? Because they don't know the Bible. They don't, you know, some churches don't know right from wrong. You know why? Because they don't love the Bible. Love the Bible. Love the Bible so much that we digest the Bible, to where it becomes a part of our every fiber, every decision, every reaction. That's a good one. Huh? The Bible is so, how do we do that? By reading a verse a day? Probably not. If you love it, you're going to spend, I love my wife, so, you know, a peck on the cheek in the morning, a cup of coffee is not enough. I want to spend the rest of the day as much time as I can with her. Listen, if you love the Word of God, you just, I got my verse out of the way for the day. That's not enough, folks. The Word of God and the understanding of it. We're never going to get past all this. But look what verse 105 says. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He says, constantly applied, it will show me the way and it will keep me from stumbling. You know, and Luke talks about the blind leading the blind. Guess where they both fall? In the ditch. If you got, I don't care whether it's a preacher or a friend or who it is, that sits there and says, well, you know. Red alert. But if you have a friend or a preacher who says, thus saith the Lord, you got a friend you can listen to. I guarantee you, somebody says, well, you know. That's how you interpret it. Red alert. and you're going to fall, you're following a blind person into the ditch. Applied and loved, it shows us the way of righteousness and directs them to the Word, who is, John 1:1, Jesus. I mean, the Holy Bible, without mistakes, preserved by a holy God in heaven, in the King James Bible, and anything else is, everybody's got one of these, right? Who's got a junk drawer? Who doesn't have a junk drawer? There's something wrong with that. Oh, Georgia says this isn't junk. But about everybody in here has got a flashlight in there that don't work. I got three or four of them. And you know, sometimes, remember that? Bang it hard. Oh, come on. And then you're right when you needed it. Oh, it went out. Mike, come on. That's what some of these Bibles are. Some of these Bibles are, oh, the light's on. Oh, it's off. Oh, it's on. Oh, it's on. Now, you don't want to trust that walking through the woods of life? Or do you want one that stays on all the time? I call them, and I'm not trying to be mean, but listen, why would you trust a Bible that is right, wrong, wrong a little, right a little? I call them dumpster diving Bibles. Because there, you can jump in the dumpster and get a little bit of food. It might sustain you for a while, but it might also send you to the hospital. Amen. There are people who live out of the dumpster, but it's not as good as it could be had they went in a restaurant and ate. Some people, in concerning their Bible, is reading their Bible the same way. Somebody says, well, do you believe that nobody can be saved by with other than the King James? Absolutely not. You know why? Because some Bibles contain some of the Word of God. They do. You know why? Because they don't have a manuscript to fill in the blanks, so they went to the King James, to the Textus Receptus, and they filled in the blanks. Why don't you say, man, that sounds an awful lot like the King James. You know why? Because it is. Because their manuscripts don't have it. So, can you get saved without a King James Bible? Yes, because we have a holy God that loves us and a Holy Spirit that leads us. But why would I try to go through life figuring everything out in the dumpster when I could walk right into the restaurant and eat a T-bone steak with the King James Bible? I mean, I could go on and on there and be ornery about some things, but I'll be ornery next week. This is not just preserved in heaven, by the way. Psalms 89 says the word of God is preserved in heaven forever. But guess what? A holy and righteous, loving God did not preserve it in heaven and give you a baloney copy that you cannot trust. Well, how is that merciful? I'm going to judge your eternity, but I'm not going to give you the right rule book. That's not a loving God. Therefore, God loves us. Therefore, God gave us a Bible we can trust. So I just want you to, maybe this week, your reading would, read Psalms 119. It's 176 verses. I'm sure you can handle that in 1 week. But the Bible says, if we love it, we'll meditate on it. If we love it, we will read it. And if we love it, we can trust it. So I want to encourage you to read Psalms 119 this week, and then we'll start into inspiration. What does that mean? And where did that come from? And what does Scripture say about it? And what, Lord willing, we'll start that next week. Let's stop. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings that you've given us. God, you're so merciful and loving. You gave us a word of God we can trust. Lord, forgive us for ever questioning the word of God because of our wisdom and knowledge is greater than yours. We know that's silly. Lord, help us to remember how great and loving you are and that you did give us a word we can trust, a word that we ought to cherish more than our spouse, more than that we love that book, that book is where the words of life come from. Lord, help us to cherish it, love it, and digest it, meditate on it this week, and that we might, our neighbors might see Jesus through us, because what comes out of us is Scripture. Lord, I thank you for these folks and their faithfulness. I pray you bless the rest of the day. In Christ's name I pray, Lord. Amen.